The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.
Hold me close and hold me fast. The magic spell you cast. This is Lovey on Rose.
Eric Craig, thank you. It is Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton. Oh, look who's here.
Hello.
It's the one, the only, our resident bibliophile, Susan Hoffman. Once a month, she comes in and she reports on what you apparently are reading based upon sales at local bookstores, what she has been reading. And we always like to hear from you about what you have been reading in addition. Anyway, Susan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for coming in.
I'm always happy to be here.
Easter, good time. People can curl up with a book. Enjoy the rain.
And
got a weekend ahead.
Excuse me. If you're making an Easter basket for a small person in your life, be sure to include a little book in there.
Like what? What book would you put in there?
I would put in, for the very small children, any book that they can hold in their hand. So some sort of little book like Pat the Bunny. That's a classic. Any little board book that they can carry around with them wherever they go. All child-sized.
So we always start by you report on local bookstores. What have you been able to discover?
Well, there are all the ones that I called, Coalesce, Volumes of Pleasure, and Phoenix, are all doing big business.
Yay.
Aren't we all happy?
Yay.
In fact, they were so busy, each of them, when I called, I had to call back when it was a quieter time, which totally thrilled me.
That's good.
So I'm going to start with Coalesce, and their bestsellers right now are The Women, the new book by Kristen Hanna. And I have a hold on the library for that book. I think I'm like number 90, something like that. She has a phenomenal following.
Number 90. So how long
in the hold list?
How long will that take you?
Well, it depends on how many copies they have. There's a 3-week checkout, and I'm not good at math.
It's a long time.
But it takes patience to get books that are super popular. And so The Women is set in 1965, and it's definitely a generational book for me. It's during the Vietnam War, and it's about a young nursing student whose brother goes to fight the war, and she wants to follow him, so to speak. So she enlists and works as a nurse during the Vietnam War. So I'm looking forward to reading it, and I have not read any Kristen Hanna, but I've heard that she's a very good writer. The other book that they're selling a lot of is titled James.
James.
And the author is someone that I am not familiar with. You might be, Dave. Percival Everett.
I think I would know that name.
Me too. Yeah. And this is a reimagining of the adventures of Huck Finn, Huckleberry Finn, told from the enslaved Jim's point of view.
And, you know, I guess you can get away with that because public domain, those books are in public domain. There's no copyright. I think 1925 is the cutoff. So you can use those characters if they're prior to 1925.
As long as you reimagine, in air quotes, the story.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds interesting.
I mean, you couldn't take a book from today and reimagine it because of copyright. But the public domain is pre-1925. You can do whatever you want.
That's another
discussion. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's how they can get away with it. And so I could take Tom Sawyer. Well, there was a movie, Sean Connery's last movie, A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Who was the main character? It was Tom Sawyer.
Oh.
How'd they get away with that? Because public domain. Dave's babbling again.
No, that's very interesting. I have not seen that movie and didn't know that.
James is the book.
And so the third book that they are selling a lot of is the Cuesta Book of the Year, which we'll hear more about possibly during the hour. And its title is Creep.
Creep.
Which, when I first saw that title and look at the card, I'm going to hand you the card from Cuesta.
Okay.
The author is Miriam Gerber, and she's local from the area. The subtitle is Accusations and Confessions. It's an essay collection. And I didn't quite know what that was about, but it's about the creeping toxicity in our schools and homes. So it's essays. And I've heard from my reference librarian friend at Cuesta, Denise, that it's a she's a very good writer, very provocative essays to read. And so she will be at Cuesta in person for the Cuesta Book of the Year.
It's on Thursday, April 18th.
Correct.
Okay.
And so onward to Volumes of Pleasure, where I talked to Christopher. And if you ever have a question about what book would be good to read, this is the magic of an independent bookseller who, unfortunately, the chain stores tend to tell you what to recommend. But at independent bookstores, what is being recommended is most often what these booksellers are reading themselves and find to be great books. So I talked to Christopher, and again, their best-selling book right now in fiction is The Women by Kristen Hanna. He also told me titles of books that I had never heard of, and I even placed a hold at the library immediately upon talking to him for one of them. What You Need to Be Warm. And that's by Neil Gaiman, or Gaiman, G-A-I-M-O-N, who I've never read either. Hmm. It's actually looks like a picture book, but it's a poem. It's a long poem, and it's illustrated. And it's about what people's memories are of things that could keep them warm. And so it could be real things.
Physically warm or emotionally warm?
Covers everything. And okay, here's some of the things that are illustrated by 13 different artists in the book. Baked potatoes. A kettle on the stove. Blankets. Memories. So you get the idea.
So they write about, like, they write about a potato?
No, it's, well, I don't know. Okay. I haven't read the book. I placed a hold on it immediately, but it's actually by the author Neil Gaiman, I guess.
Yeah, and I've heard of him.
It's a long poem, so he's mentioning all these things. I don't know.
But things that keep us warm.
But it's supposed to stimulate what makes you feel warm outside and inside. So it's an interesting idea. Never heard of that before.
I think it's interesting that the number one book is the same at both bookstores.
The Women by Kristen Hanna. Yeah. Well, apparently when a new book by her comes out, it's an immediate bestseller. And she doesn't write small books. They're long books. Anyway, the other book at Coalesce is Never Leave the Dogs Behind. Hmm. And remember last time I was talking about The Salt Path? This is another book about a woman out this time in the desert, and previously in The Salt Path, it was a couple. But this is a woman living by herself and traveling in the desert. And it's an idea of learning to live on your own, be independent. And it sounds really interesting. I would like to read it. And she has four dogs that she takes with her. That's part of it.
Yeah.
So she's not totally alone. And then the last book that Christopher told me about is a coffee table book. I haven't heard that expression in the longest time. And it's called An Apothecary of Art to Soothe Yourself. So Christopher was saying they can't keep this book in the store. And the interesting thing about it also is the author is Ravenous Butterflies, which is a literary blog, Dave.
I'm sorry, Ravenous Butterflies is what?
So this is the New World.
Okay.
So the author of Apothecary of Art, 80 Paintings and Quotes to Lift the Spirit Calm the Mind and Heal the Soul, is a literary blog which has a curator, and the name of the literary blog is Ravenous Butterflies.
And they can't keep this book in the store.
Correct.
Flying out.
Flying out, and it's a coffee table book.
Hmm. Susan Hoffman is making her monthly visit to Hometown Radio, sharing with us books that are being read around the county. We'll pick up the conversation as we continue. You're listening to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. Happy Friday. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We're back with our resident bibliophile, Susan Hoffman. And Susan introduced Kathy Myers for us, who's about to join us.
Well, Kathy Myers is a lovely librarian at Cuesta College Library, and she would like to tell us about the Cuesta Book of the Year event.
So let's welcome Kathy to the show. Kathy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So what's going on Thursday, April 18th?
Well, it's going to be the 15th year of the Cuesta College Book of the Year event, and we have an amazing author, amazing book this year, and the book is called Creep, one word, Creep, by Miriam Gerba, and I think Susan mentioned a couple minutes ago that she is sort of local. She grew up in Santa Maria, and some of her story comes out. It is a memoir. Some of her story comes out, mentioning lots of places that people who live locally will recognize. She currently lives in Pasadena, and it's an amazing read. It has been somewhat controversial, and I'm happy to tell you a little bit about it.
I'm curious as to why this is the book of the year.
It's the book of the year. Well, we pair up Cuesta College Academic Senate and the library, partner with the San Luis County Public Library System, and so it reaches a big audience. We try to pick books that are current, number one, and also books that are stimulating, questioning, making people think, talking about timely matters, things that are of great import to local society and society on a bigger scale. And we also were real intrigued with Miriam Gerba because she is from this area.
Sure. But what is she writing? But what is she writing about that's so provocative?
She's writing, this is actually her second book, and it is a memoir. And the Creep, if I may read just a sentence from the dust jacket, it
sure.
says, Creep is Miriam Gerba's blistering and deceptively playful genealogy of creeps, the individuals who deceive, exploit, and oppress, but also creep culture, which are the systems, tacit rules, and institutions that feed them and allow them to grow. So she takes on her own story, which is a brutal story. There's a lot of sadness there, but also her strength in working through things that happened to her as a child and as an adult, but also how she deals with society and some of the challenges she has had and what she thinks is happening in culture and society in the present time. So it's in some ways not a pretty story, but she's strong and she's bold and she's funny and she's insightful. So it's actually, at the end of the book, I felt like this was a little bit painful at times, but at the end I was smiling.
Wow.
And I thought, this lady is really cool and I want to be like her in some ways, because she is able to remove herself but also be totally immersed in the bad and the good that she has experienced. She's an amazing writer, very provocative writer. So in saying, you know, who does the book apply to, I think it can apply to anyone probably 16 and over, and that's who our audience is. We do need to choose books that are appropriate and also appealing to the Cuesta student, and this has probably been one of our most successful books that way. The students are really, really enjoying it. It's being used in several classes on both the San Luis and North County campus of Cuesta, and the faculty said it's a great one for a lot of different reasons, writing skills, topic, and psychology, all sorts of components to it.
Kathy?
Hang on, Kathy. You're getting way ahead of us. Go ahead.
No, Kathy's so excited. I remember
can hear it.
I was on the Book of the Year committee before I retired, and there are so many books that the people on the committee read to decide which one is going to be the Book of the Year, and so it's a very exciting process. I wondered, Kathy, is she going to be signing books at the end of the event as it used to happen? And can community members come to hear her, get their book signed? How do they buy tickets?
And can they get their books in advance?
Yes, yes, absolutely. If Cuesta students can attend for free, so if there are Cuesta students listening, you get free pass into hearing this marvelous speaker. For the rest of us, the admission is $15 this year, and you can go online to tickets.cuesta.edu. to purchase tickets. If there are tickets available at the door, you can buy them at the box office, but it'd be much safer to order them ahead of time and know that you have them. And it's general seating. Once you're in, you can sit anywhere you want. It's at 5 p.m. on the 18th, and she will probably speak for about an hour and then have 15 or 20 minutes to answer questions, and then she will sign books in the lobby of the CPAC on the Cuesta campus.
It looks like the review here on the flyer is a very positive review from the Washington Post. So my point being, she's got national recognition.
She definitely has national recognition. She's been on NPR, a couple different shows. I heard her, I think it was 2 weeks ago, on Latino USA with Maria Hinojosa, and she was amazing there. She's also a poet, and she read poetry on that show and was interviewed by Maria about her story. So she is definitely gaining national recognition.
Her last name is spelled G-U-R-B-A. First name is spelled M-Y-R-I-A-M. And
correct.
The book is called Creep, Accusations and Confessions. This is coming up on Thursday, April 18th at Cuesta. What's the website again, please, Kathy, for tickets for non-students?
Sure. It's tickets.cuesta.edu.
All right.
Oh, sounds great. And it's always special to actually meet and hear an author read.
Absolutely. All right, Kathy, well done. Thanks for joining
us
today.
Thanks, Kathy.
Good luck with the event. And you haven't read this yet, have you,
Susan? No, I have not. But according to Coalesce, they're already selling a lot of copies. So that's also very good news.
Yeah, I'd be curious as to what her accusations are. The confession part I get. I wonder, it'd be interesting. I'm not going to be here, so I'm going to miss it. But
well,
I would go to this.
I'll tell you what they are.
All right. Susan Hoffman is with us. We are off to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. We'll keep talking with Susan, find out what is being sold at Phoenix. Welcome your phone calls as well to see what you have been reading as we celebrate books and reading right here on the Dave Congleton Show. Landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show, Phil Hendry at 5:05. We are back with Susan Hoffman. Every month she comes in, talks about books that she has been reading and reports on what is selling in local bookstores. The last bookstore we have yet to cover is Phoenix Bookstores.
Well, Phoenix was very busy when I called also. And so as a lot of bookstores probably find out, when movies come out, if they're based on a book, sometimes that drives whether people want to read that book. And so Phoenix has had customers coming in looking for Dune by Frank Herbert.
Of course.
And so I'm not sure that they have any copies left of Dune. But I thought it was interesting as I looked Dune up, because I'm not a science fiction reader for the most part. I like dystopian novels for some reason, but I don't read a lot of science fiction. And this did remind me, when I was refreshing my memory about Dune, is that it's a 1965 science fiction book that was originally published as two separate serials in Analog magazine.
Hmm.
So I remember that magazine because I was working in bookstores in the 70s, and that magazine was something that I sold. For those who don't know or haven't seen the movie, Dune is a science fiction book about ecology, religion, and politics with a good story. So,
and it's worth the movie reading. Is two parts. David Lynch did it back in the mid-80s just as one movie. And the new director, Dennis, I can't pronounce his last name, did it in two parts. So it's like a four-hour movie, but it's two separate movies.
Well, and then the book itself was two separate serials in a magazine.
I think it made sense to make it the movie that way. The book was in two parts, serialized, mm-hmm. make the movie. So Dune is selling good.
Dune is the big seller right now. So if you have any copies of Dune that you want to go to Phoenix Bookstore and trade for something else or sell, keep that in mind. They're a wonderful independent used bookstore, one of my favorite places.
One of the few businesses still around the downtown from when I came here in the 1980s. Other books at Phoenix you want to mention?
Nope.
Okay. If you want to join in the conversation, feel free to. Phone lines are open, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We're always curious about whether or not you have been reading any book in particular, any book that you would recommend, 805-543-8830. Also, feel free to text in on the Stolberg line. So, what have you been reading?
Well, the book that I wanted to start with is Boys in the Boat, Nine Americans and Their Epic Quest for Gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics.
Speaking of movies.
And I haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
Which I find is better for me if I read the book first before I see the movie, because very often movies are different. And this book is great. I don't know anything about rowing, men's crew. I really didn't know that much about the 1936 Olympics. I didn't know about this author. It's got everything. And he's a good writer. Daniel James Brown is the author. You feel like you're right there.
All right. Let's take a call. We got Dirk checking in. Hey, Dirk.
Yeah, I buy all my books off of Amazon.com, and it is in the religious historical genre, but apparently it has a staying power. This book came out about 10 years ago. I finally got a copy of it. It's called Caesar's Messiah by Joseph Atwell. The subtitle is The Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus. And he lives down in Santa Barbara. What this guy did was he sat down and compared the Gospels with the Roman historian Josephus, and discovered that the Gospels had to have been written by Rome, by the Imperial Roman cult, and it's proving pretty much beyond a shadow of doubt that Christianity and Jesus is a literary fiction, and in developing the Christianity a couple centuries later on at the time of Constantine. So anybody's interested in a little bit of religious history, a little bit of an investment, this book isn't riveting, but this history is absolutely astounding.
What's the name of the book?
History, and there's several other books in this genre that I like.
What's the name of the book?
This book's called Caesar's Messiah. It's been around a number of years. He presents good evidence. He's got a documentary on YouTube, but prepared to have a heart attack. The documentary is a little bit rough, and the comment thread, it's not too nice, but it's thought-provoking for anybody in the religious historical background wants to know the truth about where we got. Christianity, Eastern, all this nonsense. And,
all right, well, here, it's Good Friday. Let's not be disrespectful of people's religious views on a religious holiday. Thank you, Dirk. Although, Craig, I have a theory that I think that Dirk all along, I think that's really Phil Hendry.
It could be. That would be the most genius thing ever.
I'm
going to ask Phil when he calls in. I think he's Dirk. 805-543-8830 on the Stolberg text line. The book Demonic Males. Oh, it's a joke. Never mind. I just got played.
Almost.
Yeah. 805-543-8830. You're talking about The Boys in the Boat.
Yes. So anyway, I really liked even the story of the how this book got started. This author had a neighbor who came over and said that her father was in hospice care and was asking if Daniel James Brown could visit because he was a fan of his writing and he wanted to have a conversation with him about the Great Depression and his time as a rower. And so her father turned out to be Joe Rance, who was one of the main rowers, or is that the right word, in the 1936 Olympics for the University of Washington team. And his own story is so fascinating because it's a depression story where he was on his own at the age of 13. His father and stepmother abandoned him, just drove off and left him and said, "You're old enough to fend for yourself now. We need to go off and somewhere else, and it would be better because we can't feed you," etc. So he somehow managed to survive, arrive at the University of Washington where he was an engineering student. I was reading and made notes. He was eating canned food and living in his car.
Yep.
He had no job. And so there came a time where he tried out for the rowing team because it came with a job and boarding. And he got on and, he was on this incredible team, and what's extremely fascinating to me, how they trained and all of that. But in the end, there was Hitler at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin expecting to give gold medals to the German rowing team and ended up giving the gold medal to this team with Joe Rance on it.
That was the same Olympics with Jesse Owens.
Yes, that's just what I was going to say. And I'm sure Hitler was not too pleased that Jesse Owens won also. But this is a fascinating book. And not only is it a fascinating story where I can learn history, but it's well written. When I'm reading it, it's very vivid. That's a gift to read a book like that.
And Cameron from the Bay Theater, Morro Bay, was here recently, and they were showing the movie. And he said that the movie was a smash success at the Bay. I've seen the movie. I thought the movie was fine. I'm not that into rowing, so I can't say it was on the edge of my seat. But it sounds like George Clooney, the director, based upon the description you just gave, Susan, that's pretty much the storyline. The movie is faithful to the book.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. I was so disappointed in Flowers of the Killer Moon, which I reviewed here with you. Again, a creative nonfiction genre book that, to me, did not translate to the movie, even though it was Scorsese. It just, the book was so much better.
Yeah, I just, I saw the movie. The movie was fine, but I had forgotten it by the time I got home because it was 3.5 hours long. I didn't see the movie. I got through the movie. And I'm like you with Scorsese. I just admire the hell out of the guy. But it's like, you really need an editor.
And the point of view was changed. In the book, the point of view was the FBI investigator. In the movie, it was the Native American woman, which was very interesting. But point of view changes the story for sure.
All right. We are going to change for about 2 minutes, and then we'll be back for a final segment. Susan, right here on the Dave Congleton Show. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. If you don't want to call in, I guess I could make up some voices. I've been told that's been done. Maybe we'll hear from Babe. Maybe we won't. But if you're going to call in, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830. Susan Hoffman is back with us talking about different books that she's been reading. I just want to come back. The Women is the big local seller right now?
The Women by Kristen Hanna.
And you can get that however you get books.
Correct. And at the library, I'm somewhere in the 90s, I think, where there's a lot of holes for it.
I hope the show is still on the air in 270 weeks. So you can come back and review it for us.
I'll try.
What else you got on the table there?
Okay, well, we have another local author, Peggy Rothschild.
And oh, I know Peggy, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I read her first book, Deadly Bone to Pick, and I was lucky enough to meet her in person. And
lovely lady.
Ask her questions about the book, which I enjoyed because the amazing thing is I am not a mystery reader either. I'm pretty much a fiction and poetry and nonfiction reader. Dystopian books also, but not mysteries, until her book, Deadly Bone to Pick, which she described as a cozy mystery. It's non-gory, no blood.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's the difference for me, because I have something to admit. I did not look at the end of her new book, Playing Dead, which is the sequel to A Deadly Bone to Pick. I didn't look at the end first.
I always look at the end.
I didn't look at the end. I had to restrain myself, but I did it. I did not try to find out who the murderer was before it was revealed. And the really incredible news is I guessed the murderer before I got to the end. I didn't know why the murderer did what they did, but I guessed who it was. So I was very proud of myself. This is a very fun book to read. It is a mystery. It is a murder mystery, but I would describe it as fun. And if you're not familiar with A Deadly Bone to Pick, there was a cast of characters in that book. Molly Madison, a former private investigator who moved to the West Coast to a small coastal town. Harlow, her golden retriever, a Saint Bernoodle that comes to live with her, and Miguel, a police officer that thinks she's in love with, J.D., a neighbor, and the beach town is called Pier Point, so there's a cast of characters, and including a little girl who needs some training with her dog.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about Peggy Rothschild, because look who's calling in. Hey, Peggy, good afternoon.
Oh, exciting.
Peggy, you there?
Hi, Peggy. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Thank you so much for sharing about my book. It's very exciting for me to hear this on the radio.
Yeah, we're big fans.
Well,
thank you.
And as I just said, I don't even read mysteries, and now I've read two of yours.
Well, that's just wonderful. It's very exciting for me. You know, you put something out into the universe and you really don't know what's going to happen. So I appreciate you reading and I really appreciate you sharing the word.
Well, but do you get upset when I tell you that I just jumped to the end to see who did it?
No, not a bit. I hear everybody reads in their own way. Because for some people, it's you want to know who did it, and then you read to figure out, well, how did they set this up? It's,
yep, exactly.
Everybody looks at mysteries in different ways.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to be able to savor the experience of reading the book, knowing how it's going to end, and seeing if I can kind of look how you constructed it.
Yeah, so it's like some people are approaching it as a puzzle, and other people are just going on a ride. So I never go to the end myself, but I am always, when I'm reading a mystery, trying to figure out who done it and why. So, yeah, so I understand.
Yeah.
And is there going to be another book with Molly Madison and Harlow? Because I want to know what happens between her and Miguel.
Well, you better have a third book.
Well, I do, and actually, but unfortunately, Penguin Random House decided not to continue with the series. Not enough books sold. I mean, publishing is a really tricky business, but I wanted to finish her story arc, so I ended up, there is a paperback, and just today, an audio version should be out very soon, and the ebook. There won't be a hardback of this one, and it's just available on Amazon. But at least I have the satisfaction of having finished Molly's story arc that started in book one.
Well, back up. What's the name of the new book?
It's Let Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Okay, and how come you haven't contacted me? This could be why you didn't sell enough books.
it's all my fault. I know. I'm terrible at promotion.
What am I going to do with this one?
I'm so excited.
We have this debate every time I'm with Peggy. Every time we have this debate, she puts all this time and effort to writing. And these books, I've read both of them. They're both wonderful. But she won't publicize. So I got to get her to publicize more.
Well, I'll publicize.
Yeah.
I've got to. I keep every time I say I'll be better, and I'm not.
When I get back from vacation, I will track you down, and we'll do a conversation.
That would be lovely. I would enjoy that very much.
And I'll call in.
Yeah.
Great.
Susan can come in. Susan can be part of the show.
Oh boy! And in this book, Playing Dead, you have a cat. I was amazed. Yes. You have a little kitten.
Well, she had to give equal time.
A lot of dogs. A lot more dogs, but a little kitten as well.
Well, I'm the kitten. I'm trying to think. There's a raccoon.
I thought it was a kitten.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Oh wow. Maybe it was wishful thinking.
We're out of here, kitten. Peggy. I'll find you. You thought it was a cat, and it's actually a raccoon.
I thought it was a kitten. That's how I remembered it.
I hope Phil Hendry isn't listening.
Okay.
I got to funnel that. Here we go. We go to Utah. Here's Babe on KVEC. Hey, Babe.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Babe.
Hi, Babe.
Love listening to you, and I'm going to jump onto that book that you wrote that you just told us about.
Which one?
I haven't read it.
Playing Dead.
The one that you just... Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Start with the first one.
One was excellent.
Oh, okay. You read that one already. All right.
I certainly did. Yeah. And I want to wish you all a happy Easter if you're an Easter celebrator, which I am not, but... Did you know that corned beef and cabbage is a popular dish, but it has a Jewish history behind it?
I did not know that.
No, because I like curious things. And looking at a cookbook, I saw that traditionally the Irish cabbage is paired with pork bacon during the 19th century as Irish immigrants moved to the U.S., they discovered there was a lower-cost alternative to pork. It was their Jewish neighbors who introduced the cured meat and kosher butchers in the community when they noticed some similarities in the two salty meats. Cooking the corned beef together with cabbage proved to be a low-cost and delicious solution, and the rest is history. So I'm not going to say this. That the Jewish people created corned beef as corned beef cabbage. But anyway, there's a curious thing for you. And happy Easter to you all who do celebrate and enjoy it.
I'm just glad they weren't serving raccoon.
Oh, golly Moses. I can tell you a lot about that. But it's not time today. Yeah. You all just be well. Thank you.
All right,
thank
babe.
You for calling.
Now, how do you top that? Dirk, Babe, and the author.
Well, we're just lucky, that. I guess.
All right. We got a couple of minutes left. What other book you want to make sure we get to?
Well, next month is National Poetry Month.
That's right,
and so
April.
If you do not read anything else that has to do with poetry, don't miss Poet Warrior, which is a memoir by Joy Harjo, who was the poet laureate of the United States for 3 years. She is a Creek Native American writer, and she writes wonderful poetry. Some of her poems are in this memoir, Poet Warrior. It's really about her life and also what life means. So I found it absolutely inspiring if you're looking for a book like that.
I think when you come in for April, we should devote it to poetry.
Well, that would be a great idea.
Books of poetry that we celebrate, poetry that we like, poets that we like. Why don't we do that for April?
That would be wonderful. And I wanted to mention that in Poet Warrior, as a child, when she was attending school, she had the same experience that I did, which was having teachers who were teaching poetry who would always ask the students, what did the poet mean by this poem or these lines, which nobody ever could answer because there is no answer. But she continued to write and read poetry, as did I.
So the top books, local bookstores, I'm hearing The Women.
Yes, The Women by Kristen Hanna, James by Percival Everett, Creep, The Quest to Book of the Year by Miriam Gerber.
And that's coming up on April 18th.
Correct. Hope everybody can go. Those events are wonderful when you meet the author.
Always good to have our visits with Susan. Final thoughts, please.
Well, I wish everybody a happy Easter as well and holiday weekend. And I wish you a happy vacation, Dave, next week. I hope you find relaxation and comfort wherever you go. And just thank you for having me on Hometown Radio to talk about books.
We appreciate it very much. And you're also a big Phil Hendry fan.
Well, I haven't heard him for I don't know how many years. When I first moved here, I listened to him following your show.
Yep.
That's how I first started listening to you, too.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Off we go.
All right. Thank you.
News, traffic, weather, Phil's up next. Stick around. I'm Dave Congleton.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.